to have Vince preaching here. He'll be here in a moment. To have Vince and Julie, and to have Samuel and Zachary and Mina with us this morning, and have the opportunity to spend time in Canada. You'll see their ministry this evening when they have time to really get into some detail about it, but this is a ministry in the Sudan that is so blessed, so empowered by God. He has used these two dear saints and a number of others over the years to bring about healing, restoration, salvation, church planting, education, discipleship. It's a long way from those days when you were doing your physiotherapy there and would have done a great job. And you can work on me while you're here, but if you're hungry for any of that still. But no, he's not. But I know what you do hunger for. You're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And we're hungering and thirsting to hear what you have to say that God's put on your heart for us. So, brother, come on up and may the Lord bless you. Bless you,
brother. We arrived in Canada last Thursday, visited my sister for the weekend, and then the Stringer family and Barry, they're all doing well, Andrew and Beth Stringer. And we're here for a week, then we're heading to the West Coast. Anyways, really, really busy summer. But we're going back to Sudan, Lord willing, in August. That's the plan. And as Pastor Rich said, the Lord has put a word on my heart, and that's from Isaiah chapter 54. If you can turn there with me to Isaiah 54. This is God's holy word. Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor. Because more are the children of a desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Will you join me in prayer? O God of heaven, maker of universe, you, God, who have made us, and you have unfolded your great plan of redemption before us in your word, Lord, now we see a great promise, great expectations for us. Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts right now with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I especially pray for the anointing that I need desperately to speak your word with clarity and power. Lord, may you come and help me. And may you help us all, Father, to hear your word, what you have to say to us today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Amen. Now, it is Mother's Day, so I have a tribute to the mothers. I'm going to start with my own mother. Where is he? Somewhere. There, hiding. A special honor to my mother, as I believe that through her prayers with tears brought me into the kingdom of God. And a special tribute to my wife, who for the 9th year in a row is the Mother of the Year, the International Mother of the Year. I forgot to present the award this morning. But and the other mothers, of course. Tribute to you on this Mother's Day. And I would like you to remember the day that you first found out that you were expecting. Now, you saw the test, and that day was a day of rejoicing, wasn't it? And it was a day where you started to prepare for the coming of this long-expected child. 9 months of preparation. Well, what do you buy? You buy all kinds of things for the child. And you prepare the room. You have a crib for the child. You have teddy bears. You've got the colors all set. You've got everything there. And even for the long walks, you have to get a stroller. And I've seen how people get such a big stroller that they have to upgrade their car so that it fits in the trunk of their new car. But those are the crazy days that we're living in now. Now, when mothers are expecting, they immediately start to prepare, don't they? We have here mothers. We all have mothers. And it's a special day for mothers. But there are those who have not been mothers, and they have been barren. We certainly see that in Sudan. They hope, but they've never expected. So they've never prepared. Now, I have good news and bad news, but I'll start with the good news, is that the days of barrenness and desolation for the church are over. Because the church, right now, in these words, has this word of prophecy from the Lord saying that you are expecting, and you better prepare yourself, because your family is going to be bursting out of the seams. So prepare the way, prepare the place for a big, massive family. Now, the bad news, and there's some good news in that. I want to talk about what the Lord is doing among the nations. But the bad news is this, is that there is something in the church today where people are not hearing this word from the Lord, where they have not heard that they are to expect something to come and that they are to then prepare. So we have the church now not expecting and therefore not preparing. Preparing for what? Massive growth in the church among the nations. And they're not preparing to fit this big family of faith. Now we have in our text today this word from the Lord. The Lord says two things. Let me summarize in 2 points. You are expecting. And secondly, then get ready. Prepare yourself. The first point, we read from the first verse. You are expecting because the days of desolation, the time of desolation, the time of barrenness is over. It's a time for what? For celebration. This is what we find in verse 1. Now, let me read it. And can you hear the bursting out in celebration with its expectation? Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song. Shout for joy, you who are never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. This is something that we've experienced on a very personal level in Sudan, where we have been settled in a small village called Parat, and we arrived in this place and found there was no church, and people there were, as we describe it, as we see it here, like a barren woman. Barren. It was desolate. The people lived in under this cloud of depression, it seemed, where the men were alcoholics, not leading their families. The women were abused. There was no joy in their lives. We spent years, I think it was at least 2 years, just walking through the community, at least once a week, walking and praying through this community. And expecting, longing. But God has exceeded beyond our wildest imaginations what God has done, what He has done in this village of Parod. Where God put, we needed a man for that village to lead a church. And there was this man called John Alo, and he had a past that, you know, was of desolation and barrenness. And God brought him out of that. And now we see this man, John Alo, just full of joy in Jesus and the gospel. And he's leading so many people. It's like every week he's delivering new children to faith into the kingdom of God. The church is packed, but it seems like every woman of the village is coming to our church. The men are still straggling behind, a few of them, and the youth. But the people that I'm seeing in the church now are people I never would imagine would ever come under the roof of a church. Well, that is a personal testimony we have of what the Lord has done in bursting out the seams of this church in our village in Parod. Well, this is the picture here of what the Lord says He's going to do with Israel. The community of Israel, the Old Testament church, where we have this description of a woman who's barren and desolate. And what does He say to her? He says, sing. What we have here is a picture of this woman. She's not singing. She's all alone under a small tent. And the Lord is going to do something with this woman. Despite her disobedience, despite deserving where she is right now, the Lord called Israel to be something, to bless Israel, to be a blessing. What did He call Israel to do? To be a light to the nations, to be a light to the Gentiles. And instead, as they lived among the nations, they started to commit adultery with their husband, the Lord, their Maker. Until they deserve what they received, which was to be sent out into exile. And this is what the Lord says to His bride, that He was going to restore. In verse 6, the Lord will call you back as if you were a wife deserted and distressed in spirit, a wife who's married young, only to be rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I abandon you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. The Lord is drawing His bride back. And He starts His opening words. He says, you, barren woman, sing. And later, shout for joy. Literally, cry aloud in your barrenness. Why? Why? It's because she, this very woman who never was in labor, she was going to have children. Where are these children coming from? How does this woman who has never went in labor going to have children? Well, we have to go back. The Lord just spoke of this servant that was to come. And he would be in labor. It says that he would travail in the anguish of his soul. In his suffering, he would see his offspring, his seed, his descendants. And that was his reward that was before him as he suffered. 700 years later, this one would come. We know him to be Jesus. His name means he will save his people from their sin. This is a spiritual redemption the servant would bring. And he would bring back the exiles. He would bring back those who are desolate and barren. And he would reconcile them to their Maker, Lord. This is what we find here. The connection between chapter 53 and these verses. Sing, because you will have children. And you will have many children. How do these children come to be? We have this suffering servant who offered himself up, as it says in Isaiah 53, that he would bear the sins of these people before Him that were set before Him to be His joy. He would bear their sins. This is the seed that He's laying down His life. It says in Galatians 3 that He would be a curse for them, bearing the curse of the punishment of these sins, that we would receive the blessing from the Lord. And we would be blessed to the point where we would be adopted into the family with the Jews to be engrafted into the church. And we would be blessed in Him. Now we see that Israel was expecting. Barren, but expecting. Now is the time to break out in song and shouts, because more will be the children of this barren woman than the one who has a husband. In Galatians 4, we read it earlier, that these children, they'll be born by the power of the Spirit. They'll be born from the Jerusalem that is above, the mother of this family. Now, I know what it means to be born again. I hope you do as well. Be born by the power of the Spirit. It was so dramatic in my life that it was an impulse to sing and even to shout. I went to a conference called Urbana, and I encourage, if you have a heart for missions, to go to this conference. I came back, and my parents were out in India, I believe, at that time. And I put in the music that we sang in that conference, and I was turning up beyond legal levels, and I was shouting, screaming. I don't know how the cops didn't come and shut down the party, but it was me and the Lord. I was so full of joy for what the Lord has done in me, for giving me new life to be a child of God. Now, I remember standing here in this assembly and singing those songs that we sang this morning, and picturing myself standing among the nations and learning about the unreached people groups of the world and singing these praises, singing words like, I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of your name among the peoples. Now, I don't know about you. Do you have a song in your heart? Are you bursting out with singing and shouting to the Lord? Is there a time when you sing the Psalms to shout to the Lord? Now, if maybe that song has faded in your heart, what's going to stir it is remembering Jesus and how far He has brought you to restore you from your barrenness. We sang this, we read this morning. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit, the miry clay, and He set my feet upon a rock. And what does He put in our mouth? He put a song of praise. And it's to your God. If He's your Savior, sing to Him. Shout to Him. Now, some of you here, you are not hearing this word from the Lord, because your sin has brought spiritual death. And so you're hearing me now. But hear this. When the Lord speaks, He says, live. And the promise is extended to you that whoever receives Jesus and whoever believes in Him will have the right, the privilege of becoming a child of God. That promise is extended to you right now. Receive Jesus. Believe on His name. And you will become a child of God. Now, we have seen that you, people of God, are expecting. But we better get ready. We better prepare ourselves for a big family, because the time is now to enlarge and possess. time is for enlarging and possessing. This is verse 2 and 3. Enlarge in the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. One of the dead men that has encouraged me the most is a man called William Carey. Everybody knows about William Carey. Well, William Carey used these two verses to stimulate a new movement in missions called the Modern Mission Movement, where he was the father. And it was these two verses that he preached in Nottingham in 1792. And this is what sparked this new movement of missions to the nations. And he had two points to his sermon. The first was, verse 2, expect great things from God. The second was, attempt great things for God. I'm not going to use his outline here. I'm not going to steal it from him. But we find here a message that I believe will touch your heart. What do you expect from God? What do you expect Him to do in your life? Is it small? Is it mediocre? Anything? Because what you expect from God is going to determine how you live for Him and what you attempt for Him. The Lord here promises, we saw it, a big family. Huge, massive, and it's growing. I'm telling you, in the last 10 years, it has exploded. The church is growing at an unprecedented rate right now. Now, I want to read something to you that is really interesting, that's connected to this. This is what the children born of this bereaved woman says. This place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Here's the barren woman, and she's looking at all these children, saying, this place is too small, this small little tent. We need more space. So there's a space problem here for these people, this big family. So what's God's solution? We find that here in verse 2. You enlarge in the place of your tent. You take this tent, and you stretch it, and you take the cords, and you lengthen it, and you stake down the stakes of this new lengthened, big, massive tent. Now, I'll tell you a story of many problems that we've faced in Sudan. And these are the good problems, where the church is growing and people can't fit in the church. So it has to enlarge it. The point where you've got people, there's like standing room only in some places. If we talk about code, there's no code in South Sudan for a fire hazard here. Okay, there's no way of getting out. Now, you have simple way of enlarging the church. You just add some poles and then some sticks and you put some grass mats. It's very simple. That's how you enlarge in the church. Well, you have here a picture of our church or the church in Sudan, a local church, which is a microcosm of the universal church. This big tent that is covering the church. Now, the church or the people of God is often have different pictures or analogies or allegories. You have now Jerusalem in heaven. You have Zion. You have the temple. And you have here this picture of a tent. Now, the connection between the tent and the people of God in Jerusalem is here in Isaiah 53. Let me just go to it, and I will read it to you. Look upon Zion, the city of our festivals. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. There the Lord will be our mighty God. That's a picture of a tent. Another picture we find is a tabernacle, which is similar to this tent. And this is a picture of the Lord dwelling with His people. And that's the final end vision for the church in Revelation 21. The dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. They will be His people. And God Himself will be their God. He will dwell with them. And the promise in Genesis 24, going straight back to Genesis, up to Revelation, continues, runs through the scriptures of this relationship that God wants to have with his people. Now, here's a story in Genesis 28 of Jacob, who's tired. He sent his family ahead across the river, the Yabbok River, and he takes a stone and he's laying it down to take his rest for the night. Now, I don't understand how you use a stone. We've improved our technology for pillows these days. But he's sleeping and he has a dream. And this is the dream where there's this ladder, this stairway that goes up to heaven. An angel is ascending and descending on the ladder. Who's at the top? It's the Lord. And he speaks. And he says to Jacob these words, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. I will give you and your descendants this land in which you are lying. And your descendants will be like the dust. And you will spread out from the west to the east, the north and the south. And all peoples will be blessed through you and your offspring. All nations, all peoples will be blessed through you." So what is the seed promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and running through the scriptures? It's Jesus. He came, the one who was blessed without sin. And he came to take our curse for us and to bless us, not in order to be a blessing to the nations, just as Israel was commanded to be a blessing. And we are to spread out, as it says in verse 3, spread out to the right and to the left. This tent is to cover. It's not a small tent anymore. This tent is to cover all the nations, all the peoples of the earth. And we are to stake it down to cover them all. This is what William Carey did. When he left England, he said bye to his family and friends. And he went to India and he stayed in one place called Serampore. I don't know how to pronounce it. And he says, "I want to have a red hot center from which the light and influence of Christianity might radiate throughout a greater widening circle from that center." He staked that center there. And he wrote home, "We only want men and money to fill this country with the knowledge of Christ. Christ must reign till Satan has not an inch of territory." Thank you. I'm waiting for that. This is such an inspiration for us, this story, but these scriptures to us in Sudan. We have been praying and meeting every week and asking ourselves, "Lord, what do you want to do with us? You have put us here in this small village of Parod, but we're seeing the providence of God. What we're seeing is that God has put us in the safest state in South Sudan. You hear about the fighting and insecurity in Sudan? Well, there's nothing, hardly anything happening in our state. So that we're free to move around. And God, when we arrived there, we were living in a village. There was no roads, but two massive roads were built just about half a kilometer from our homes. And it's a crossroads. Roads going south to the second biggest city in South Sudan. Roads going north up to Darfur. Road going west up to Darfur and Raja. Road going east up to Abyei, if you've heard of it. And our compound is right there at the crossroads, where we've set up a radio station, training of men. God has placed us there. We want to be that hot, red, hot center to radiate from there. And God is putting on my heart especially to stretch out those 10 pegs, to go out to the New Era people, to go to Wau, to go to Raja, where there are about a dozen unreached peoples, to go to Darfur, where there are 8 million people, 33 people groups, and they don't know Jesus. And we want to put a center right there in Jebel Mara in that mountain. So we're just laying down our lives before God there in Sudan. Say, "God, make us to be a blessing." And I believe this is the call of every local church to be local, regional, international, just as this church is. I was sent out from this church. This is the pattern we find. Jesus says to his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Acts 13, we find that the leaders of this church in Antioch, they were worshiping, praying, and they received this word from the Lord saying, set apart for me Paul and Barnabas for the work that I've called you to do. And they went out. Paul went as far as Spain with the gospel. The ministry of the local church, have you seen it? It has two components. It has breadth, and it has depth. The tent is lengthened, and the stakes are dug down hard. They're strengthened. The ministry of going out and going in for every local church. Now, are you expecting God to do great things, to expand your family? Are you expectant? I hope you are. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for these new children to enter into the kingdom of God. And this is where Jesus, in Psalm 2, claims these children. It says here, nations, you will receive the nations as his inheritance, the ends of the earth as his possession. They are all for Jesus. He died for them. They will come. Now are you preparing to receive them, to disciple them, to train them, to equip them? You have been blessed in Jesus in order to be a blessing. You have settled here. Now stretch out your blessing. And I'm calling people everywhere I go, preaching in the States and in Canada, especially for the young people. There are cities to dispossess in these nations. The world is moving towards cities. And in the cities, people are being swallowed up by the things of the world. And Satan is keeping them in his captivity. Go and settle in the cities and be a blessing among the peoples of the nations. It's a call. And not just a call, it's a command. It's a command to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them all things. You see the breadth and the depth? This is our call. This is our command for us. Stretch it out. Dig it deep. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the Blessed One. And while we were languishing under the curse of sin, you set us upon a rock and you put a new song in our mouths. And you have given us a great command to stretch out the blessing that we receive in Jesus to the nations. Lord, may you do that for each and every one here, Lord. Bless them in Jesus. I pray. Amen.